Strangers and Aliens, Episode 72.
Strangers and Aliens, Summer Movie Series.
Hello and welcome to Strangers and Aliens. I'm Dr. Jace O'Neill, along with...
Ben Avery. How you doing?
Captain Ben Avery. And we just want to welcome you, all of you strangers and aliens, and we're going to be continuing our summer movie series about all the cool movies that are coming out this summer. And Ben,
and maybe some not so cool movies too.
That's true. That's true. Of course, some of them you don't know until you're actually in the theaters.
Yeah.
And I guess depending on your view, the movie we're doing today could fall into either category.
I think I could see it easily following into one of those two categories. Yes, definitely.
Okay. All right.
So today's movie, After Earth, directed by M. Night Shyamalan. I never feel like I can say his name right. But
yes. And Will Smith and Jaden Smith.
Easy to say their names, though.
Yeah, much easier.
So, Dr. Jace, here we are. Will Smith, you a fan?
Oh, I'm a huge Will Smith fan.
How about Jaden Smith?
Oh wow, you're going right into it.
No, I'm asking you because I know that he's been in Karate Kid, which I haven't seen, and he's in I think Pursuit of Happiness with Will Smith again. Yeah. Again, I haven't seen that.
Yeah, I've seen them both, and I thought in those first two movies, I thought he did fine. Of course, with the Karate Kid, he's going up against an iconic role, and I'm a bias because I had a chance to work with Mr. Miyagi from the original Karate Kid, so, and I also grew up with the original Karate Kid, so I had the Karate Kid action figure and the whole mat, so I was going to be biased on that film regardless, but I thought that he did a decent job in both of them. Nothing that was, if there was anything wrong in those films, I wouldn't just pin it on him.
Okay.
For those first two films.
And then M. Night, are you a fan?
I've always been an M. Night fan. In fact, I like a lot of the films that other people don't like. I think the only one of his that I've not seen is Airbender, The Last Airbender, and that's simply because I heard it was so bad.
I haven't seen that one either.
That's the only one. I've seen all of them, even the B-movie that he did, that he didn't really direct, but he produced, called Devil.
Oh, that's the elevator one?
Yep.
Yeah. No, I see, let's see. I've seen everything up until The Village, and up until The Village, I was a big fan of him. And with The Village, I was just kind of, I'm not sure how I feel about this anymore.
So you haven't seen Lady in the Water? You haven't seen?
No, I wanted to.
The Happening.
I didn't get around to it because The Village just kind of, it didn't sour me. It just kind of made me lose my enthusiasm.
No, I like, you know, two of my favorite movies are The Sixth Sense and Signs. Those are my two favorite M. Night movies. I actually like Unbreakable better than a lot of people. I think a lot of people didn't like it because they were expecting Sixth Sense Part 2.
Right.
But I think for what it is, I thought I really enjoyed it. But my two favorites are Sixth Sense and Signs.
And I'm right with you on those. And Unbreakable, too. I really like that movie.
Yeah.
Because of it was a statement about superhero movies without necessarily being a superhero story.
Yeah, exactly.
Or being a traditional superhero story, I should say.
See, I like The Village. For me, it's always going to be hard to be honest with The Village because there was actually some major family stuff going on literally right in the movie. So it was one of those that I didn't get to really experience just being able to just enjoy the movie. But I enjoyed it from a sense that I felt it like it was like this social commentary. And as a social commentary piece, I thought it was pretty interesting, although I saw the twist in that one coming from a mile away.
Yeah, and so for that movie, I don't think you're the only one.
Yeah, and I think that was the first one where the twist didn't come through. But then again, I mean, I thought he did three pretty decent twists with Sixth Sense, Signs, and Unbreakable. And after a while, I mean, I think it's hard to keep. He's introduced these new twists in this modern cinema to where everyone feels like they have to have some kind of crazy twist. So
Yeah, I feel like he set the bar very high for himself with his first movie.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And that's a big problem, too. So, let's talk about this movie then. After Earth.
Yes.
And the big twist, it just comes so early in the movie. It's
well, Earth. I think that's where it's unfair. I went into this film having no expectations. In fact, having pretty low expectations because of what he did with The Last Airbender and what I've been hearing from other people. So my expectations were pretty low. And because it's a Will Smith, Jaden Smith vehicle, I figured that they probably had a lot of input into the story. So I don't know how much impact he had.
Yeah, they did actually. Will Smith and I think his brother-in-law came up with the story idea before they had a director. And they then brought in M. Night at some point, who worked on the screenplay, I think, with one of his frequent collaborators. But he created this whole world of the science fiction future and had Peter David working on it. They had Jan Michael Friedman working on it and Robert Greenberger working on it.
Yeah, Will Smith is credited with the story, and then M. Night, because a lot of his early stuff, he's credited as written, directed, and produced. And this one, it has him credited as writer or co-writer along with someone else.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the way we do things for the summer movie series, first half of our conversation is spoiler-free. Second half is spoiler-filled. You will be warned. You will know when those spoilers are coming. So if you have not seen After Earth, that's when you want to stop listening. But for right now, Dr. Jace, what's your grade?
My grade would probably be – see, this is a movie I would probably break up into categories. I like to break my films up into categories sometimes. Because I would say if you're asking me from an Academy Award standpoint, it wouldn't be very high. But just from kind of a fun popcorn movie, I actually would give it a B-.
Okay. And I've been going back and forth on this. I cannot decide if I really liked this or if I really didn't.
See, I actually – you know how people are a lot of times they're comparing this to Oblivion.
Mm-hmm.
And because they have somewhat similar themes. And, you know, I thought that Oblivion was shot beautifully. I thought there was some interesting twists. I thought this was told well. I think there are some things they could have done differently. But I thought that the message of the film, the driving force, was a little bit more on par with my taste. I think that the biggest issue for me was just knowing that Will Smith was pushing his son. That for me was the biggest distraction, because you know, before you just kind of get lost in the characters, you don't always know what the casting process is. But this, you just know. I mean, you just know that this was a vehicle that Will Smith has made with his son. And I'm a huge Will Smith fan. I've loved him since Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. So but you know, I think as I got the movie went along, I was able to ignore that part of it, and it kind of played into the story of father and son, so to speak, which is the story is all about father and son relationship. So
right, yeah. I think I'd have to give it a B- or C+.
Yeah,
but probably erring on the side of B-, simply because of effort there. You know, you bring up Oblivion.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. Yeah. Did Oblivion feel more like an M. Night movie than After Earth with all the big twists and everything that happened in Oblivion?
If you're just citing twists, then it probably had more twists. Although, for me, the twists were pretty obvious early on. But when you get to kind of know his style with creatures, I think After Earth definitely has more of an M. Night flair to it if M. Night has a big budget.
And the budget shows in this movie, for sure.
Yeah, it does.
I mean, it doesn't look like Oblivion. Oblivion is a much more beautiful movie with all the vistas and the different science fiction landscapes. But this is much more grounded. That's what I found.
Yeah,
this is grounded and feels like science fiction, but feels like it could exist.
Yeah, I think the technology in Oblivion is kind of more of the new Star Trek, whereas After Earth is a little bit more gritty naval feel to it. Just the ship and the technology itself. Mm-hmm. Therefore, that shapes the look of the rest of the film.
There was some cool tech though going on in this movie with when it. You know, I don't think we're spoiling anything to say the ship crashed. I mean, it's in the trailer, but the ship itself, it feels like it's made out of parts of it are made out of wood. The doors in the ships and in the cities are cloth.
Yeah.
And it's just a very strange and different, but not too strange type of world.
It seems a little bit more of a more realistic. If we are 1,000 years in the future, you could kind of see how that would play out. Whereas Oblivion is this very clean, rounded edges.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is kind of like this Spartan. It's a whole different type of feel as far as the design is concerned. My biggest surprise, I don't think this spoils anything. My biggest surprise is that Will Smith was in it more than I thought he would be.
Yeah, he was. And I didn't mind that. I thought, and well, there's some other spoilers that I don't want to get into, but yeah, the way he acted though, that was the thing. The performances were kind of strange. And I'm trying to put my finger on it. With Will Smith, he was being the military man, the very straight laced, very, you know.
You don't get to see him do that role very often.
No. And he did a good job with it. I think it might be off-putting, though, for someone who is just going to see, you know, the Will Smith that they love. That's not the movie that they're going to find here. They're going to find a Will Smith who is acting and who's playing the military man, the military father who has a hard time connecting with his son. This relationship between father and son, it's a great dynamic.
If you're looking for Will Smith, Men in Black, Hitch, Bad Boys, that's not it. But he has had some serious stuff with Muhammad Ali and
mm-hmm.
Pursuit of Happiness and 7 Pounds, where you can see some things. But this is a different. This isn't just serious. This is military, absent of humor type. It's very straight laced. Something that you would expect to see, you know, maybe Mel Gibson play.
Well, and even beyond just being straight laced. This is a man who has his emotions completely under control.
Yeah.
And so he's taking it even a step further where he just, you stay calm, you stay in control. And he finds himself in a situation where he has no control. And it's a great thing. I like Will in this movie.
Well,
Will?
I think one of the best moments in the film was in the trailer, which was his monologue.
About fear.
Yeah. Of course, you get more of it in the film, but anyhow, I thought that there's some interesting spiritual themes that we could really look into if you wanted to look a little deeper.
Yeah, I agree, and it's interesting too. I've been reading the prequel book written by Peter David, and I've been reading some of the short stories that they've written to go along with this, I think they happen at this, no, they happen still before this movie, but it's very interesting because they're talking about like the discovery of why you do not want to have fear and why the Rangers, you know, are all about controlling fear and becoming these kind of controlled, not emotionless, but almost type of soldier. And that's what was interesting to me was to read this backstory that they created. They created this huge Bible of science fiction backstory for this movie. And it really, really shows. I wonder how much of that is lost, though, on the audience. Well, like you, Dr. Jace, who you're coming into this movie, you don't know about these creatures, where they're from, who sent them, why they are the way they are, and then why the Rangers have to be like that. What did you feel lost at all?
No, not at all.
Okay, good.
In fact, I felt that this film was less about, even though I thought that the mythology, you know, I'm guessing, I always like it when people kind of think things through. But I felt like, if anything, this film was more of a chase movie than anything else.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, you know, that genre has not been you don't see a lot of chase movies done these days. I mean, I think the last one I saw was Apocalypto, but I think that it's, you know, basically Jaden Smith running, and it's kind of a chase theme from one kind of event to the next. Yeah,
point A to point B.
Yeah,
together and safely.
The theme, the storyline is pretty simple. It's just a matter of him overcoming the elements, so to speak. So I felt, for what it is, as a chase film, I didn't feel like I needed the whole backstory, although I think it helped at certain moments. I didn't really care about the war from aliens against humans. I've seen that movie a lot.
Yeah.
So I didn't feel like I necessarily needed to have that information.
I was surprised. I mean, knowing how deep this mythology goes, they do not go very deep in this movie into the mythology. And it's just a story that takes place in that world. Try and follow it. And that's why I'm glad to hear that you were able to follow it without having without knowing all of the backstory and mythology there. So do you recommend it? Before we move into spoilers, for people who haven't seen it, do you recommend it? And if you do, who do you recommend it to or not recommend it to?
How I would view this film is, this is not a film that I would go and see at night when you have to pay the full amount of money for the ticket. I went early in the morning. I wanted to see it in theater because of the special effects, because there are some really nice visuals in the film, in my opinion. And so I would recommend to those, hey, go for a matinee. And I think that it's good for college students, father and sons. Probably there's a lot of scary things, and I leave it up to the parents.
As usual. I recommend it too. I feel like you've got a movie here that has a very fun kind of old school sci-fi vibe, and you know, if you are into just that interesting sci-fi where it's just a movie that's its own thing. It's a fun movie. It's interesting. It's well shot. I agree with you about not paying full price at the theater. Definitely, though, worth a rental at least.
Oh, yeah. Netflix for sure.
Yeah. I mean, it's not it's well worth your time. It just may not be well worth your $12. So,
if you can get it for half off, then go for it.
And I also do recommend the books. The books I've been reading have been really interesting and really fun.
And, you know, I don't remember there being any language in it. And although there's a lot of adventure, and you see bodies because there's a plane crash, it could have been a lot gorier than what they showed.
There was some gore, but it was mostly contained within the flesh of the body. So, yeah. All right. Well, I think it's time for us to turn over to spoilers then. So you have been warned. We are about to spoil this movie. If you've not seen it, don't continue listening unless you like to be spoiled. So here's our spoiler theme song. So, Dr. Jace, what did you really like about this movie then? What did you really enjoy?
Well, first of all, I loved Jaden's suit, how it changed with the environment.
Yes, that was cool.
It changed color depending on what was going on. Even if there was like danger around, it would change color. I actually really liked the technology, the breathing, the communication devices, the little wrap that Will Smith was looking at that kind of looked like an iPad, except it was cloth and you could fold it up and it was really thin. I thought it was a very interesting, even the flying suit. I thought that those little details were actually pretty interesting, and you could believe that many of them were possible. I really liked that part. I liked the nuances.
Yeah, for that world. I mean, it's a very earthy technology, but a very high-tech technology, and it's all of a kind. It's all like, if you look at that world and then they'll do something new and you're like, it's okay that it's new. It's not like they just pulled out a magic wand and said, this can do what I want it to do. It makes sense and it looks like it belongs in that world. So I like that. I like that too.
I would say that I actually like this film better than Iron Man 3. But not as much as Star Trek Into Darkness. I felt that the Iron Man 3 ceiling was much higher. If they would have hit Iron Man 3 on all cylinders, that one could have hit it out of the park.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't, in my opinion. This one, it's a smaller story. It's not a big story. It's between a father and son, and there's a plane crash, and the dad's injured. The son has to go and retrieve the beacon at where the tail of the plane is. And then from there on out, it's a chase film. It's how, can he get there in time? Because each night the earth freezes. He has to find a warm spot. He has to get there, and he only has a limited amount of oxygen. And this alien who's bred specifically to kill humans is on the loose, not to mention all the other crazy animals that are out there.
Right, right.
So it's a small film. It's a small story, but I felt like they hit the main points. And I remember halfway through the film, which was about, I think, it was about the halfway point in his journey when he's on the mountain. I'm sitting there going, you know, I'm actually enjoying this.
And along with that, of course, he has to learn what his father has to give him as far as knowledge and growing up, and that he has to find his father's inner peace and calm. And so, you know, it's very much a coming of age kind of movie as well. I mean, it starts out with him. He's not going to be able to be a ranger. Jaden Smith is not going to be able to be a ranger because he's, you know, just not ready. Well, his father's coming home that night.
Who's a hero? The father is the hero of heroes.
He's the one who first figured out how to ghost, how to just take your fear, put it aside, so that the creature, which is bred to smell and sense fear, he essentially becomes a ghost to that creature. Well, that's a cool idea. It's a cool concept.
He becomes a ghost because basically fear releases endorphins. And so you have to literally expel fear, and then they can't see you. But if you're afraid, which when people in battle, usually those endorphins are kicking, that's when those aliens can see them and kill them.
I forget battle. You see that creature, man.
Yeah.
You pee in your pants. I mean, that is a nasty, mean, scary looking thing. So,
and so I was wondering, why in the world did he just have a stick that could really have cool? Why didn't they have guns? You know, that was part of what I was thinking. But
yeah, and that goes into some of the backstory that can get really. It feels like in some of these cases the backstory was just to explain, well, why don't they have guns and they have these weapons, which is a cool weapon, but why not have a gun?
It is a very cool weapon.
And it's because the pulse guns that they had didn't work. And so they need to get in close. And the other thing that I wondered about, this kind of a plot hole, is why in the world didn't the aliens, of course you don't know this, but the aliens bred those creatures to specifically hunt humans by smelling their fear. Why in the world didn't those aliens give them eyes? If you're breeding them anyways, you might as well give them all the senses they could possibly use, right?
Well, what I'm saying is if everything's by smell, just hide out in the water. You know? I mean, hide out in the water and then kill them.
Well, that didn't work too well, but
anyhow, I liked the storyline. You know, obviously it's a well-known storyline. Father and son. Son, there's friction. The dad is a hero, always gone. You find out that his daughter, Jaden's sister, is killed by one of these beasts while Will Smith's character is away. And the son struggles with blaming himself and blaming his father, and that's what's created this distance. One, because of tragedy, and two, because the son doesn't really quite feel that he meets up to the expectations of his dad, who is emotionally absent.
Right. I love the last line of the movie, or close to the last line of the movie, where they get reunited after being saved.
Yeah.
And he's, Dad, I want to work with Mom.
Yeah, that was funny.
She works on turbines for engines.
I think if there was one thing missing, it was the humor element. We have a kid out there. I mean, I know that they wanted to create, you know, the tension, which I thought I thought M. Night did a very good job of keeping, I mean, it was like almost every 2 seconds, oh my gosh, something else is going on.
Mm-hmm.
And that's your traditional chase film style. But occasionally it would have been fun in one or two of those spots to have some kind of humor to offset and release the tension before the next one starts up.
Right. And I feel like they couldn't do that because of what they set up with Will Smith's character. He's not a funny guy. He's not a jokey guy. And yes. Then at the end, when Jaden tells that little joke, he laughs. His dad laughs. There's like an emotional connection. It's a very brief and very low-key emotional connection, but it happens.
It was probably – maybe Jaden doesn't do comedy. I mean, maybe – you know.
Maybe.
Because where Will, he started with comedy. So he has comedic timing and dramatic chops. Maybe Jaden hasn't gotten to that point. I don't know. I've never seen him do comedy before, so I wouldn't know.
Well, let's talk about Jaden. How do you think he did in this movie?
I mean, I think it's a little unfair because he's still a kid. And I think for a kid, he did well. I think that even – the problem is people – what's unfair is they'll compare him to his dad. And they're different. Even if you look at their facial expressions, they're different.
Yeah.
Will Smith looks like a hero. If you look at Jaden's eyes – his eyes, where even if you look at the poster, where Will Smith's eyes, there's these strong, intense. Jaden's eyes are like these kind of sad.
They're softer.
Pouty, softer eyes, yeah. And so that plays very differently. And if they don't realize that he has a different look and probably has a different gift mix, then they might try to make him a hero like his dad. Because... you know, one of the scenes where his dad's telling him to turn back, and he's like, "No, I'm not going to give up." I thought he did a very good job with the tears part, with the sad part.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes his strength, as far as when he's yelling and arguing, it doesn't come off as strength. It comes off more as pouting
or whining. Yeah, I think some of that comes from age too.
And that's it has to, because his voice. Even for me, you know, me as an actor, when I was younger, the way I would handle serious scenes with anger and those types of things is far different than I would now. So I totally put that in the context that he's still a kid.
Yeah.
But if that doesn't change, if it, you know, because right now the way his eyes are, he has a different look. They're like you said, they're softer. And look does play a huge role. Especially when it's your eyes, it plays a huge with how you are perceived when you perform something.
Yeah. Well, was there anything you hated about the movie? Anything you just did not like? I already brought up the eyes on the creature. Like, why didn't they just put in eyes?
Well, you know, the way I'd explain that in genetics, you know, when you're if I'm the one who created this story and you tell me that, I go, well, it's like breeding dogs. You breed one strength, and you often lose another. You can't always get everything.
Well, they built this genetically from the ground up.
Yeah. So I don't know.
Yeah.
Don't know
but it doesn't matter. In the context of the film, it's not a plot hole. Because you don't know the whole backstory about the alien races that were doing this and doing that. All you know is this is a creature that's going to follow you that can smell fear, and you got to get rid of that fear.
Which is a very unique concept.
Mm-hmm.
From a metaphorical standpoint, I like the son and the connection with the father, and the father looking out for the son and having to deal with fear, not worrying about the past, not worrying about the future or what might be, because it may or may not ever happen, but being focused on now. And I think that there can be some spiritual truths in there that, you know, fear, people are either worried about the past, or their past mistakes, or the fear of what might happen instead of, focusing on the here and now. So I think that there's some depth to that conversation.
Yeah, he said something about, you know, when you're afraid, you're creating a story. It's a fiction.
Yeah.
You're creating what could happen instead of looking at what is happening.
Which smelled of M. Night dialogue.
Yeah. The other interesting thing with that creature was
I like that part.
No, I did not have any problems with the dialogue, except for maybe the dialect it felt like they were trying to do some sort of North Carolina accent. I don't know.
Well, no, it sounded maybe early in the film, Jaden sounded like he had an interesting kind of accent. I didn't hear it as much in Will.
There was a dialect coach in the credits.
Yeah, I don't know what it was. It sounded to me like bad English accent.
But I think it's on purpose. I think they're trying to do that to say, you know, this is 1,000 years in the future.
Yeah, yeah.
And but at first it was just really kind of, oh, what's going on there?
Yeah.
So the one thing also with the creature was it was taking people and impaling them on trees. And you saw this early on in the movie with a flashback. And there's just one tree with all these soldiers hanging on it, which was like, oh, my goodness, that's horrible. And then as Jaden's running, he comes across a body and it's hanging in a tree. And Will Smith says, the creature put it there to make you afraid.
Yeah.
And what a great, you know, this is not just a creature that's hunting for food. This is Predator.
Yeah.
It really is almost like the Predator movie in some ways, where you've got this alien with its own ways and its own things that it does.
No, I there wasn't anything in the film that I could think of that I really did not like. It may be just because my expectations were so low. I had no expectation whatsoever. So I was thinking, you know, man, this could be awful. But then I actually was pleasantly surprised that I enjoyed it. And I didn't have that at the end of the movie anger that I did with Oblivion.
Either. Although I did wonder how the Earth changed so much in just 1,000 years. Although we don't know when the 1,000 years started necessarily.
Yeah.
But no, this is 1,000 years after they left Earth, and then they come back and plants are so different and the environment is different and the creatures are so different. And it was, you know.
Well, the creatures are.
That cobra snake thing.
That was cool.
That was so cool.
I thought that I didn't think the animals were all that different. They were just, you know, what I thought was cool is that moment when he gets up on the mountain and you got to see all the animals mm-hmm. as if there was nothing to control animal population. All the vast birds, the vast buffalo, there's just so many living things. I thought it was pretty cool.
Yeah. And here's the one big thing that separates this from Oblivion. I mean, Oblivion and After Earth both take place on Earths that are very different in the future, that are basically not inhabited by humans at all. But the one big thing, there's no human remnant. And I was so glad that he didn't come across a tribe of humans who had been hanging on. I was so glad about that.
For me, the biggest difference between the two is the worldview. The worldview that was promoted from one to the other, but yes, from just story context.
Yeah, just a world building.
Yeah,
yeah. So, all right. Well, any final words then about After Earth, Dr. Jace?
No, I really look forward to see what Will Smith goes and does from here on out. I think Jaden has enough chops to have a career. I just hope that they're wise enough not to try to make him have Will Smith's career. Let him be a different type of actor.
Yeah.
You know, maybe when he gets older, I mean, he's still growing and he's still maturing, so who knows what he'll end up being. But
I agree. And that's one thing I saw in an article. It was an interview with Will Smith where he's just, we don't want these kids to grow up to be us. We want them to grow up to be them. And so far they're interested in what dad does, but you know, they want to let them grow. So, and that's what this movie's about, honestly, is this kid who's trying to be dad and realizes, well, I can't be dad, but I can learn from dad. And dad realizing he can't be me, but he can be him, and that's good. It's an interesting movie, and you're right, it's a very small story, and I like that.
Yeah, it's occasionally nice to have a small story.
All right, well, all that said, then, let's close this out. Thanks for talking with me, Dr. Jace.
All right. Have fun anytime.
All right. We'll talk with you guys later. And Godspeed, everyone. Thanks for listening to the Strangers and Aliens Summer Movie Series. You can email us at podcast@strangersandaliens.com or leave us a voicemail at 1-804-37-ALIEN. That's 1-804-372-5436. We'd love to hear from you. You can also go to our website, strangersandaliens.com, leave a comment on the blog, or check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/strangersandaliens. We're also on Twitter, Strange and Alien. Check us out. But for right now, Dr. Jace, what's your grade? What grade do you give?
Well, that's my phone ringing with the answer today. The answer as I ring that. Hold on. My grade –